Okay, today is the 10th of September. The speaker is Forrest Cottrell. The topic is a continuation of the series I started a couple of months ago. And so we're going to start in Matthew. That topic has to do with the Lord. The context of that is the Lord talking to his disciples and talking about the parables, and they were questioning him as to what it means. And he basically said, you know, who has ears to hear, let him hear. But he goes on to expound on that, basically saying, look, if you are able to hear me, if you're able to hear me, then can you listen and understand? And so in Matthew, and Tony, thank you for posting. Appreciate it as always. Go to Matthew 13, verses 9 through 17. And so we start with the Lord saying, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak to them in parables. Excuse me. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not. And that is our topic today. Because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So we have the word see or seeing or seen multiple times here. 9 times in these 7 verses thereabouts. So let's take a look at what the Greek word that's used here. And there's 2. The first time it says in verse 13, because they seeing, see, is the same word, same Greek root word, and it's blepo, B-L-E-P-O, and it literally means to behold, to see, to perceive, to be aware, to take heed. The second word that's used, and it's down in verse 15, it says, see with their eyes, eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. This is a different word. It's the word eido, E-I-D-O, and it means to properly see or to know, not only to behold, but to be aware, not only to see, but to perceive and understand. And so it takes on a little different connotation there. It's not only do I see with my eyes, but I perceive what's there. I understand what's there. Not just to look on. So I can look at an object, but I may not know what it is. This word says that I know what it is. I perceive it. I understand it. Okay? And these are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament. But let's take a look at the Hebrew first. Let's go back to Isaiah. Let's start with Isaiah 44, verses 15 through 19. It says, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. So this is Isaiah talking about idols. And it's really dripping with sarcasm. And you just have to understand that as he's writing this, he is being so sarcastic to get people to understand and perceive what he's really saying. So he says, this shall be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. He's talking about cutting down a tree, and he actually burns part of it. And so he says, he kindleth it and maketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god. So he takes part of this tree and burns it to make bread. And then the other half, he makes a god. And he worships it. He maketh it a graven image and falls down thereunto. I mean, can you just picture this? Man goes out, cuts a tree, cuts it in half. Cuts all the branches off. He's got two logs. One of them, he makes a fire and he cooks some food on it. And the other one he bows down to and makes a god out of it. That is not the most sarcastic image possible. But he's trying to be so blatant to get people to understand how foolish it is for them to be bowing down to a fallen tree. Starting in 16, he burneth part thereof in the fire, and part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it. He worshipped it. He prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see. Same Hebrew word as before. And their hearts that they cannot understand. And notice that he brings in a different organ here, if you will, the heart. First, he's got the eyes that they've closed, and their heart, they have also, he has also closed so that they can't understand. A lot of times, the heart and the mind are used interchangeably, and so it's the mind of the heart that they cannot understand. Verse 19, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge for understand nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have taken bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue therefore an abomination? Thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to stock to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand, meaning holding the idol. So the Hebrew word here is Strong's Concordance number 7200, and we see it again in chapter 52, and I'll give you the definition here in just a moment. In chapter 52, verses 8 through 10, it says, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord shall bring again Zion, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, so they have seen it. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is prophecy. The salvation here is not the saving grace of God. It is the person. Salvation of our God. The word see, back in verse 8, is also used then in verse 10, and it is ra'ah, R-A-W-A-W. It means literally to see. To behold, to discern, to gaze upon, to look upon, to stare at, to show, or to view. So it literally means what we know our eyes do. The, The purpose of our eyes are to see. It is not about the heart that understands, which is how or why there is multiple words in the Greek for the same word translated see or seen. In Psalms 27, verses 11 through 14, it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses," what are a witness? People that see things, "are risen up against me, and such as breathe out of cruelty. I had fainted unless I had to see, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So, we have the same Hebrew word, 7200, in Strong's Concordance. Again, it has to see, is defined as seeing. but note that he has to believe first. "I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord." Without believing, we don't necessarily always see. And we're going to see this, no pun intended using the word see again, in the New Testament Greek, because the Lord talks about, through the Holy Spirit, talks about hope. Hope is not seeing, but still believing. And here it says, "I had believed to see the goodness." So he wanted to see the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord says, "Be of good courage and wait." And he repeats himself, "Strengthen thy heart, wait on the Lord." A lot of times we do not see what we pray for. We do not see the goodness of God in spite of our believing and hoping and being of good courage because we haven't waited. We just haven't waited for the Lord's timing. It will come in his time if it's meant to be. And if it's not, well, we continue to wait. So moving to the New Testament, let's go to Acts 22 and verses 10 through 15. Acts 22, 10 through 15. "And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus." So who's this talking about? This is Paul telling the story of the Damascus Road, what happened to him back in chapter 9. And he says, "Go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." What did Paul see and hear? On the Damascus Road, there was a blinding light, which was the Lord. And Paul literally asked him, is that you, Lord? And he says, yes, I'm the one that you are persecuting. Stop it. But he chose Paul right then and there to be a witness unto all men unto what he had seen. And Paul is a witness to us today, even though we have not seen what Paul saw with Paul's own eyes before he was blinded by that light and led by others. He then became a witness of all that he saw. He wrote down what he saw so that we too can see. The Greek word that's used here, actually there's two of them. So in verse 11, it says, "I could not see." That is the Greek word M. Blipo. It means to look on, to observe, to gaze, to discern clearly, or to see. And so this actually has to do with sight. But in verse 14, it says, and see that just one, that is a different Greek word. It is 1492, and it is a duoi, E-I-D-O-I, and it means to be aware, to perceive, to understand. So not only did he see with his eyes, but he now perceived, he now understood that just one, understood who he was, okay? And then it says in the end of verse 15, the word seen, which is past tense, is the word 3708. And that word has to do with discern clearly, to take heed to. It's a Hebrewism that means to experience. And so substitute the word, for thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast experienced and heard. It's like the word knowledge. To know, you can do so intellectually, but to experience it, it is a totally different word. And so let's take a look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so again, we see that not everything we see, or not everything that we hope for, we will see. But if we wait, we might. And that is the same word that is used previously to not just see, but to actually perceive or to understand. In Romans 11, 7 through 11, Romans chapter 11, verses 7 through 11, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. So because they did not see, because they had closed their eyes, it's the word that we saw earlier, which is blipo, the Greek 991, to look at or have sight. It is purely that they should not see. Ears that can't hear, eyes that can't see. Think how miserable that would be. Think how miserable you would be if you not only did not have the sense of hearing, but did not have the sense of sight. And that's the people that Paul is describing in Romans, that these Jews were blinded. There's no way that they could possibly see the truth that was before them. And therefore, they turned to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. But they turned. So this is not the turning point of the dispensation unto the Gentiles. This is bringing Gentiles, believers, as proselytes, into the Jewish faith with the caveat that they would see Christ. They would know who the Messiah was, that Jesus of Nazareth was in fact the Christ that was prophesied. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 through 9, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So this goes back to what was spoken about in Romans about hope. Even though we have not seen the Lord in the flesh, we still love. Because our eyes have been opened. Our eyes, through the Holy Spirit, see, even though, in other words, we understand, even though we don't see. And this is a different Greek word used here in verse 8. So it uses the Greek word seen here, 1492, but it uses the Greek word 3708, and it is horo, H-O-R-A-H-O, or pronounced that way, it's H-O-R-A-O, and it means to perceive. It's that Hebrewism again, to fully experience. So let's go down to Acts, a verse that has been read many times by many people because it is a turning point for us. In chapter 28, verses 20 through 28, it says, Paul speaking, "For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you, physically see you, be in front of you, face to face, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Notice it's the hope of Israel here. That's a defining point. "And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judah concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. For we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect," meaning the way, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him, into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah," which is what we read earlier, "the prophet unto the fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them." Verse 28, "And be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will now hear it." So, this is different than what was we spoke about previously in Romans, about provoking them to jealousy, that they turn to them. In this case, the salvation of God, which we read in Isaiah, this is God himself, is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And this is what provoked the Jews against Paul, is that he constantly talked about this salvation being given to the Gentiles, when in fact, when they felt like the salvation was only given to them. Now, it was, but they failed with it because their eyes were shut. They did not believe. They did not understand fully what they had, and therefore they didn't understand their mission from the Lord was to make all men see this salvation, and they weren't doing that. They were withholding it, and so their eyes were shut. All right, let's continue here then in the New Testament, and let's go on to Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me. So it says, whether I come to see you or be absent, whether I come face to face and see you, or whether I'm absent, but you hear of my affairs. And then he goes on, verse 30, having the same conflict which he saw in me. So face to face. They saw what was going on with Paul. They saw how he was being tested, the tribulations, the trials that he was going through. They saw it firsthand. And so he's saying to them that in spite of what you've seen, in spite of the trials that I'm going through, and you've seen them firsthand, stand fast. I'm going to suffer. You're going to suffer. But stand fast. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, again, something that we've read many, many times, but have you really seen what's there in the words that are used? Chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, and this is another different Greek word, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Greek word here is phuitsu. It's where we get the word photo, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. It means to shed rays, to shine brightly, to enlighten, to illuminate, to give light, to make to see, to make to see, to make to see. Do you get this? Do you see it? Do you understand it? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. To not just shine, or not just see with their eyes, not just to perceive what's there, but to make this so bright, to illuminate this truth, this mystery, which was from the beginning of the world hid. Think of it as going into a deep, dark cave along the seacoast and finding a pirate treasure that's been hidden for ages and ages, totally unknown, opening up and the bright, shining gold coins are so bright that it almost blinds you. That's what Paul is saying, to make all men see. To illuminate this to such a point, to shine a light on it to such a point that they see it, that it is enlightening them because of it. He goes on in chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. See, in other words, be able to fully understand and therefore walk appropriately and redeem the time. How do we redeem the time? We redeem the time by telling people of what Paul just told us to make manifest, and that is the eternal purpose, which goes back to verse 9, the fellowship of the mystery, which has been hid. That's how we redeem the time. We enlighten others to see this incredible mystery. And so Paul goes on then, after telling about this mystery in Ephesians, he tells Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, and we're going to read two more passages to be able to continue to bring light to what Paul's mission was and what he then passed on to Timothy. In chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God. God sees, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul's telling Timothy, look, you can't see Christ. You can't show Christ to people, but you can witness to them and make them see. Make them see what you hope for. And that's our mission today, is to be able to study this word to show that we understand what Paul wrote about. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Isn't that amazing? Night and day he prayed for Timothy. He goes on to say, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Given us in Christ before the world began. He chose us before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. The word to see here has to do again with perceiving, to fully understanding. He wanted Timothy to understand what his mission was, and what now then Timothy was to continue to bring forward. But he had a desire to see him, to fully spend time, not just face to face, but with tears of joy. Think about that. Is there someone in your life that you long to see? That you long to make see what you have seen, what has been brought to light to you, but for whatever reason, their eyes are dull. Now, we can't make people see this mystery. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But is there someone that you so long to see that you would hope that they would see this mystery? That you need to tell the hope that is in you. Who would that be? Whose face pops up into your mind? Who do you long to see? Who do you long to discover this hope? Who do you want to enlighten, shine forth, illuminate this mystery? That's what our redeeming the time has to do with. That's what we were chosen for. That's what God has for us as a mission. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for illuminating this amazing, amazing word to us, making it something that we desire to see every day, to perceive, to understand, that we might, when we are face to face with someone else, that they see in us this hope, this calling that we were chosen for as part of God's eternal purpose. Thank you, Lord, for giving that to us. Thank you for letting us acknowledge it and perceive it and take it to heart. What an incredible treasure it is. It doesn't matter what others have in this world from a material standpoint. We have the greatest treasure of all, one that was hidden, that we see that others don't, that we might help them see as we have seen. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for this time, and your word. We pray, Lord, that we can glorify you in it. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.